So friends, we have covered an episode on overcoming relapse in substance addiction as part of TGV Global Speaker Festival, episode number 432. And our guest was Felix Ayerhorn. He was from Nigeria. And after that, we have got several requests from many of the audiences saying that, hey, can you do an episode related to drug de-addiction? And here we are proudly presenting an episode related to overcoming the drug addiction and many more things. And before we get into the episode and before we do the formalities, I would like to give you a brief introduction about the speaker. Our speaker for today is Bryce Hancock. He is the founder and chief executive officer of Mile High Recovery Center in Denver, Colorado. And his company offers extended drug and alcohol treatment center, including a medium intensity residential program with PHP, IOP, clinical case management, and recovery housing for men and women in the heart of Denver, Colorado. And they feature a year-long program for substance use disorder, mental health, and have a flexible schedule for working adults needing just IOP. And as we prepare to delve into our conversation on the topic at hand, finding purpose from bar owner to treatment center owner, this entrepreneur's sober journey, here's an exciting twist. Let us tickle Bryce's brain first. So Bryce, get ready for a rapid fire round of random words. I'll mention a few. And I would love to hear the first thing that comes to your mind in response without thinking much. If you're ready, let's get started.
Okay.
Okay, here comes my first word, curiosity.
Presence.
Invention.
Computer.
Future.
Open.
Book.
Lord of the Rings.
Movie.
Star Wars.
Aliens.
Aliens?
Yeah.
UFOs.
UFOs, all right. Oh, got it. Universe.
God.
Leadership.
Direction.
Role model.
Father.
And the last one is success.
Win.
Amazing. And this is one of the crispest rapid fire rounds, and I loved all the responses. Bryce, I really appreciate your participation. And before I welcome you formally to the show, let me welcome the audience. Folks, welcome to the Guiding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. I'm your host, Navin Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value not only to your life, but also to your career. Thank you so much for tuning in. And folks, we are currently listed in the global top 2.5% across 3.3 million podcasts across the globe. And we are inching towards getting into the top 1% shortly. Thank you so much for all the love and support from 130 plus countries. I really appreciate it. And I am powered and empowered to do more and more and bring in a lot of experts like Bryce to the show. And Bryce, hearty welcome to The Guiding Voice. Super thrilled to host you. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's a real honor. I like your show.
Thank you, Bryce. And let's get started. Let's get the ball rolling. Okay. Gone through your profile from bar owner to recovery center head, right? So share with our audience about your background and what initially drew you to the hospitality industry, specifically owning a bar.
Okay, yeah. So I was a musician most of my life. I played guitar and played rock music, toured around in Colorado, up and down the East Coast and up and down the West Coast. And I'm an entrepreneur. And so I started, you know, I was booking my band at different places and I started booking other bands to make money. And I was so good at booking bands that I started booking clubs, and so booking nightclubs. And then a nightclub hired me, and I did so well that I got hired at a larger nightclub. And then the guy at the original nightclub, which was called the Toad Tavern, he said, I got to get out of this industry, man. Would you like to own this bar? Yeah. And I said, well, yeah, I'd love to own a bar, but I don't have any money, right? And he said, well, I will carry the loan for you. So he basically helped me buy the bar from him. And so I guess I kind of organically fell into owning a bar.
Wow. I think you are lucky a bit in that sense, and some offer has come and there is no looking back. That's what I could see, right?
It was a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, blessing and a curse as well. Got it. Okay, Bryce, now let's talk about your success mantra. Like, please share with us the top three things that I've attributed or contributed to your success so far?
Well, yeah, I would say purpose, meaning Why am I doing what I do and who do I serve? I would say faith, you know, a belief in the universe and that things are going to work out if I'm doing the right thing and staying true to my core values, and grit. So purpose, faith, and grit. Grit meaning, you know, I just keep going. Like if something is an obstacle in my way, I figure out a way around it. And I'm too hard headed to quit. Sorry, that's my cat's tail.
Amazing and inspiring. Actually, this grit is going to play a critical role. And off late, we understand the power of universe also lately, right? And once we start believing in the power of universe, I think miracles start coming our way. And thank you for sharing that. Let's move to the next question. I'm curious to understand the turning point or catalyst that prompted you to shift from the bar business to establishing this Mile High Recovery Center.
So yeah, I was like I said, like I went over, I owned a bar, but I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. So I can't drink safely. And so what happened is when I got the bar, my alcoholism got worse. And so I was dying. I was a late stage alcoholic. And the doctor said, you're going to die if you don't stop drinking. And I couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. He said, I give you a year to live if you don't stop. I drank for well over a year. I had to get sober. So I went to treatment. I did Alcoholics Anonymous and got sober. So I had to sell the bar. And then I sold the bar. I got sober and I took a class to become a tax preparer, an accountant. Mm-hmm. And I was doing that and I didn't like it. And so I switched to being a realtor selling houses.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. And so I had a therapist who I was in therapy and she challenged me, what's your purpose? Who do you love? What do you want to do with your life? What are you here for? And so through this odd series of events, I decided to open a sober house, one sober house, just as a way to give back and help people. And it turned into a whole career. One house turned into two, turned into three. I had nine sober houses at one point. And then I kind of got into a dispute with the city where I live, which is Denver. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine said, why don't you open a treatment center to go along with the houses? And so I opened the treatment center. So it was an organic path. My goal was to help people. And it came out of me being sober. And that's basically how it happened.
Wow. Now you have a strong purpose to make a difference in people's lives, right? So which is truly inspiring.
Right.
Yeah. Amazing. And thank you for sharing so candidly about your own journey as well. I really appreciate it, Bryce. If we were to talk about running a recovery center, right, it must be challenging. So can you talk about the initial steps you took to make this vision a reality? You said you initially had 9 sober houses before starting this recovery center as a whole, right? So what are the steps you took to make this vision a reality?
Okay, so when I started, right, I didn't have this grand vision of a treatment center. I had a small vision of one house.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, I believe you take one step in the right direction and then the universe will rearrange the way it needs to. And so initially it was get one house. And my father and myself, he helped me purchase a house. And then I went out and I created a website and I learned about sober housing and I made business cards and I went around to all the treatment centers in the area and I introduced myself and I said, I'm Bryce and I have a sober house, and the house filled up. And, you know, I was having so much fun that I opened another house. And so it just was like one step at a time. Mm-hmm. When it came time to open the recovery center, you know, there's a list of things you got to do. I needed to get a clinical director, which is a master's level therapist. Mm-hmm. And I had to register with the Office of Behavioral Health. It has to all go through the government because it has to be medically, you know, regulated. But it was one thing at a time. And it was just one thing at a time, just one step at a time, until the next thing I know, where I am today, I have 35 employees, there's 9 houses, and it's this whole thing. But I never would have been able to do it if I would have tried to tackle the whole thing at once. So just one thing at a time is how I did it.
Mm-hmm. Great. And this journey seems to be inspiring and as if it is crafted by the universe. That is how I'm envisioning it as you speak. And I'm trying to look back how this has grew eventually, right? So that is so great. And we will talk about your program, right? This Mile High Recovery Center. It offers a comprehensive year-long program for substance use disorder and mental health. So what inspired you to adapt this approach and how does it differ from other treatment options?
Sure. So traditionally, treatment centers in the United States, and I'm assuming countries, are 30-day programs. And unfortunately, their success at treating the disease of addiction with 30 days of treatment isn't very good. Most people relapse. They don't stay sober if they only get 30 days of treatment. So what I thought I would do is I would create a year-long program. And so we have 30 days of treatment, and then they step down to a sober house, and they go to outpatient treatment. And then after, so it's levels. They step down, and so they keep the accountability that we offer and the therapy and counseling, and then they get a job. And so they reintegrate back into normal life with our support. Mm-hmm. And done over the course of a year, right? It takes about a year for the chemicals to reset in your body from all the drugs or alcohol you were doing. And you can experience one of every holiday, and enough things go by in a whole year that your chances of success are much higher.
Okay. And what is the success rate, if I may ask, like out of thousands of people that you have dealt with, right? Was there any relapse?
Really, yep. It's hard. It's really hard to get the success rate because once they leave us, we try to keep track of them. We call them or we'll send them questionnaires. And, unfortunately, if somebody has relapsed, they're not always honest about it, right? Yeah. And sometimes they don't answer the phone. And what numbers we do have is that our average client, our average stay is between 4 and 5 months. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty good for us. I do not have long-term success numbers, but we're working on it. I'd like to see them, mm-hmm. As high as possible.
Yeah, fair enough. And also your centers, right, offer treatment to both men and women. And it must require a nuanced approach. And how do you ensure these programs are inclusive and address the unique needs of each group?
Right. So, the trick is keeping them apart sometimes, right? It's co-ed. So what we do is we have gender-specific housing. We do not have co-ed housing. So the women live in a house and the men live in a house. And we have rules about relationships. They're not allowed to be in relationships. And it's a challenge, right? Women have different problems than men. Sometimes they have, past more sexual trauma than mm-hmm. men might have. And the way we treat men in society is different than the way we treat women. And so, that is addressed in the therapy with their therapists and the therapeutic interventions that we use. But, I believe in recovering where you live. And I believe that, if you, let's say you have a young woman and she goes to a 30-day treatment program for all women, her chances of doing well there are good. But eventually she has to re-enter society, right? And so what we're doing is we're trying to create something where people can be long-term and work through the challenges. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that answered the question, but I think the challenge is, because when you get sober and you're newly sober, mm-hmm. it's tough to face yourself. And it's much easier to concentrate on the opposite sex. So the trick is to keep them from doing that.
Oh, got it. I'm also curious about a success story or a particular memorable experience that has occurred under your leadership at this center.
Yeah. I have lots of examples, but I have let's say there's a young man who came to us 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was a hopeless heroin addict. He had just come from 30-day treatment in Texas. And he came and he lived in our sober house and he stayed there for about a year and he did well. And then he left and he relapsed and he was out there for about 6 months doing drugs. And then he reached out to us again and he came back and he worked his program again and he stayed sober. And then after a year, he became a house manager.
Oh, wow.
And he was a house manager for 18 months or so. Mm-hmm. And then he got a girlfriend and he said, I want to move out and live with my girlfriend. And we said, that's great. We wish you well. And he did that. And he also ended up working for us at the treatment center. So he's been with us for 5 years with a 6 month, relapse mm-hmm. and he's thriving. Right. And that is not an uncommon story. That's a common story where okay. they stay connected to us mm-hmm. and they thrive in life.
Wow. I love the example here. I think that is so inspiring. And let's now talk about the biggest misconception about recovery center and how does Mile High Recovery Center work to change that particular narrative?
One of the misconceptions, besides that people can get well in 30 days, one of the biggest misconceptions is that we're all about money. We're in this to make, you know, piles of money. Most treatment centers are started by healthcare companies.
Mm-hmm.
Our treatment center was started by me. I don't have a pile of money. So we are a grassroots organization. It grew organically. That vibe is part of our flavor. And what am I doing to change the conception that treatment centers are about money? I don't know that I am. I remember hearing, you know, Oprah Winfrey story about she had all this competition and all her producers were like, what are we going to do about this show and that show and that show? And she said, we're not going to worry about the other shows. We're going to do our thing. We're going to be Oprah. We're going to be the Oprah show. So we're kind of doing our thing. Our health and well-being is always first.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always believed in the power of the universe. And I believe that the money will come and take care of itself if we put the client's well-being first.
So one thing what I like the most is you have personally gone through that journey and you know the in and out of it. And now you are able to support those many people around, right? So that is something inspirational. And Bryce, this has been fantastic conversation so far. And it's time for us to add some more excitement and some more spice to the episode. If you are ready, I'll kick off the second rapid fire round.
Okay.
Okay, here comes the first bullet. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
It would say, let go or be dragged.
Wow. Let go or be dragged. So powerful. So simple, but so powerful. All right. So let's move to the next one. If you could have dinner with someone living or dead, who would it be?
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley. Oh, okay. And describe yourself in just one word.
Human.
Loved it. If you could swap your life with someone for a day, who would it be and why?
I would swap with Dave Grohl from the band The Foo Fighters because he's honest, he's genuine, authentic, and he really seems to have a good time. And he's had an amazing musical career.
Oh, wow. And here comes the next one. Complete this sentence three times. Never have I ever.
Never have I ever killed someone. Never have I ever been wealthy. Never have I ever punched a shark in the nose.
Amazing. Spot on. Here comes the last one from the second rapid fire. What is one electronic gadget that you'd like to see or invent yourself?
Oh, yeah. Electronic gadget. I think about this all the time. I think a cool electronic gadget would be a teleporter. So that I could, I hate traffic. I can't stand traffic. So I could just teleport myself to work.
We could do this in-person interview.
We could do it in person. That would be amazing.
Right. Yeah. Good one. And that was a great rapid fire. Let's flip back to the mainstream, Bryce. So lastly, what advice would you give to someone currently struggling with addiction or contemplating making a significant career or life change towards sobriety?
Okay. Yeah. So people that are in addiction, and I'm speaking from experience, part of them believes that they can handle it. They can control it. They can stop at any time. What I find is that the faster you admit that you have a disease and a mental illness, the faster you can get around to taking care of it. And so you have to reach out for help though. Willpower does not work. That's the point. Is that you cannot use your own willpower to beat addiction or alcoholism.
Amazing. And that was also spot on. And thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed every bit of this conversation. But how is your experience being hosted on TGV, The Guiding Voice?
It's good. I've listened to some of your past episodes, and I have to say your guests are really sharp and they're really good. And it makes the show just top notch. And so I made sure I was mentally prepared for today because the guests on your show do so well that I wanted to make sure I did a good job too. So it's been a great experience.
Thank you so much for being an amazing guest, and thank you for being so candid and sharing your own experience. And this is not an easy thing, because many a times people struggle to share their story, but it has come effortlessly and I thoroughly enjoyed every bit of it. And keep up all the great work that you guys are doing, and I wish more power to you and your team at Mile High Recovery.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bryce. And friends, that was our episode with Bryce Hancock. And before we jump into the fun trivia section, we have a quick request. In case if you haven't already subscribed to our podcast, please subscribe to TGV, the Guiding Voice podcast, from wherever you have tuned in. And also, if you have enjoyed this conversation and found it useful, please share with at least three of your friends or colleagues who would also like TGV. So spread the knowledge and help others grow just like you. Now it's time for us to cruise into the trivia segment. Having had amazing conversation with Bryce Hancock, founder of Mile High Recovery Center, I thought I would present you a few facts related to the history of drug addiction recovery centers and the approach to substance abuse treatment, which has evolved significantly over the years, which reflects broader challenges in societal attitudes, medical understanding, and therapeutic practices. And here are the key historical insights. So first one is about early history and development. And if we consider the origins in the temperance movement, the earliest forms of treatment for alcoholism, for instance, can be traced back to the 18th and 19th centuries with the temperance movement. And these early efforts were not recovery centers in the modern sense, but were aimed at promoting abstinence from alcohol use. And second is about inebriate homes and asylums. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, the first inebriate homes and asylums began to appear, particularly in the United States and the United Kingdom. And these were some of the first institutions dedicated to the treatment of alcoholism and drug addiction, although their methods were primitive by today's standards. And third is about shifting from moral failing to medical condition. Initially, addiction was seen as a moral failing or lack of willpower. Over time, there was a significant shift towards understanding addiction as a disease that required medical and psychological treatment. And this paradigm shift laid the groundwork for modern recovery centers. So likewise, if you are aware of any historical facts related to recovery centers, I would love to hear from you. So if you are watching this on YouTube, you can comment there in the form of a comment. Or if you have found this episode through some audio platforms or some social media platforms, you can leave your comment there as well. So folks, that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and also for being part of our awesome TGV family. And we would love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas, feedback, topic recommendations and guest speaker suggestions either through social media, or you can also email us at theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com, 4 as a digit and U as letter. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a lifelong learner, and my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve not only your life, but also your career. Until next time, take care, stay inspired, and remember, the best is yet to come. Goodbye for now. See you in the next episode with another amazing guest.